Enrichmentality.com. How can I find good financial advice? In the last podcast, we looked at why it's so important to read widely in order to avoid bad financial advice. In this podcast, we'll take a look at some of the specific ways that you can evaluate sources to find good financial advice. Now, many universities provide useful checklists for evaluating sources, especially now that digital resources are so common. The first two items on Cornell's checklist, purpose and authority, are particularly relevant when it comes to assessing the reliability of resources for your own personal research. So let's take a look at how these relate specifically to financial blogs, podcasts, and of course, personal finance gurus. Let's take a look at purpose first. What is the purpose of the source? We need to ask whether it's educational or commercial or promotional. A website that's covered in advertisements for systems to help you beat the market is much less likely to be reliable than the government's Money Smart website, for instance. Of course, simply because someone's running a business doesn't mean their advice is flawed, but you should check it for bias. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. You may also find sources that are more entertaining in nature. I'd class CNBC's Mad Money, which has been described by Helene Olen as half man cave, half playhouse Disney, as one such example. It's complete with goofy sound effects, jumping and screaming, and certainly I wouldn't suggest following that program for advice. The next question relating to purpose is, who is the intended audience? Is it for experienced investors or for novices? Finding a resource tailored to your background and experience level is important. Research in fields as diverse as language learning and sports show that we learn best when a lesson is just beyond our current level of competence. Is the document targeting a specific group, like women or young people? Beware though, just because a course or a book is marketed as for women, which remember is 50% of the population, it doesn't mean it will suit all women. Nor does it mean that men won't get anything out of it. Also consider whether the information is universally relevant or specific to a certain region. There's no point taking tax advice or credit advice from someone in the US if you're located in Australia. At best, it will be irrelevant. At worst, you could get into trouble. But topics like saving, mentality, general finance, literacy, and basic budgeting are quite likely to be applicable almost anywhere. Secondly, authority. What is the author's background? Do they list their experience, credentials, and occupation? If you're seriously considering paying someone for their services, you should definitely investigate these claims further. There are many PhDs out there with degrees in fields that are totally irrelevant to what they're selling, or worse, with self-awarded or bought online degrees from invented establishments. Now, this isn't to say that you need a degree for your advice to be worthwhile. I value the experience of someone who's actually achieved financial independence at least as much as someone who has studied finance. And my PhD, personally, is not in a finance-related field, full disclosure. But you should certainly look out for people who obscure or misrepresent their background and make sure that any advisor you pay holds an appropriate registration. Does the author cite their sources? As I mentioned before, there are two reasons this is important. Firstly, it's just nice. It gives credit to the original author. But secondly, and more important for you, it allows you to check the author's claims. I view very skeptically the claims of any non-fiction book which does not include a list of references, or any advice blog which doesn't provide links to original sources. And you might also like to consider how current the publication is and whether it's updated. Old doesn't always mean bad. Some advice does stand the test of time. You can take a look at my post on outdated financial advice for more details on enrichmentality.com. Then there's the issue of bias and advice. Dorothy Rowe, author of The Real Meaning of Money, says every financial journal has advertisements for systems that will reveal the grand design or the secret of making money. But she says the question you need to ask is the person selling the system very, very rich? And if so, I would add, how? Rowe says, I asked a buyer for Dylan's bookshops if Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich, is wealthy. She said, he is from the sale of his books. Of course, we need to apply the same kind of critical thinking to blogs and podcasts and television shows and webinars and courses too. Where does the money come from? Is the person selling the course making money through the means they're recommending to you? Or is their primary income selling DVDs or tickets or books or ad space? That is, if they're advising themselves as a property investing guru, have they built their own wealth through property investing? Or has it been through advising others? If they're claiming to be a stock market whiz, have they made their money through the stock market? Or is it through a piece of software they're selling? I think we should also ask, is it sustainable? Is what they are selling sustainable? For instance, I'm always skeptical about seeing advice on blogging from bloggers who blog about making money blogging. Just imagine if the entire internet was full about blogs about blogging, or wikis about wikis, or if YouTube was just videos on how to make videos. Only a small number of people can make money from blogging, and only an even smaller number can make money blogging about blogging. Likewise, I'm skeptical about organizations that make their money from teaching you how to create courses. Do they go to courses on creating courses to teach people to create courses? It's like course inception. Teaching is most definitely a skill in and of itself, separate to content knowledge and well worth training in. My years in higher education, both teaching and researching learning, convinced me that there are some people who have a lot of knowledge but lack the skills to impart it. Other people may have less knowledge, but they've got a real knack for engaging and extending learners. Some people, of course, have neither. But rare is the person who can do both. And herein lies another benefit of reading or watching or listening to saturation point. You get to find those rare gems. You get to pick your own teachers, unlike in school. To me, good teaching is a product of two things: in-depth, continued learning about a certain area, and development of superb educational skills. This includes how to give a good presentation, how to speak clearly, but more importantly, it's about how to listen, to encourage conversation, and to guide exploration. You'll notice that both of these are processes. Great teachers are constantly updating both their knowledge of the field and their knowledge of teaching methods. So does your teacher walk the talk? Imagine you want to learn to speak Portuguese. You could hire a native speaker who might have little experience talking to non-Portuguese speakers, no training in applied linguistics, and no teaching experience. Now they might be able to model pitch-perfect pronunciation and correct all of your mistakes, but they'll be hard-pressed to explain why your mistakes are mistakes, or to recommend strategies to memorize new vocabulary or resources to practice with at home, because that's not how they learned their mother tongue. On the other hand, it wouldn't be any good asking me for help either. I might have devoted a third of my life to studying how languages work and how we learn them, and I might be able to give you hints about strategies that work for learning languages generally, but I couldn't speak a word of Portuguese to you beyond obrigada. What you want is someone who has knowledge of both the language and how to teach it. In a financial context, it's no good to try and emulate a successful investor who obscures the details of their strategy. Nor should you latch onto a smooth talker who has no idea about investing and makes all of their money just through speaking. You need to look for someone who has both a lot of knowledge in the area and who can write or speak clearly. In these times of fake news and alternate facts, you might also like to take a look at some of the resources I've linked to on enrichmentality.com. Just search for Can Find Good Financial Advice.